listening in Guam, Barcelona, I don't care where they're listening to, you better pull over to the side of the road.
Bucks fans, the draft is in. A bunch of new players are on the roster, and the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here to talk about it. He's Ira Kaufman, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here, and all the fun, yes, the fun, and the analysis from the sage is presented by Bill Curry Ford. That's Tampa's first family of Ford. They've been around since 1958, Ira. Not as long as you, but they've been around a long time. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and they've got 0% financing. They've got no payments for 90 days. They've got a $500 gift card that Sean Sullivan, the general manager, wants to hand you if you go on their website, use their concierge ordering system, and order yourself a new vehicle. He's got certified pre-owned vehicles, top of the line. He's got a nationwide lifetime warranty for you on all new vehicles. They've got a great body shop that I've used, Ira. You know how I crash cars all over town. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name. Curry. C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there, and you can reach out to Sean right on the website. He'll help you personally. The GM, the big boss, he will help you personally. And grab a Bromosa this week. Make it the week that you do it. It's in so many stores. That's the Tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewery. And of course, if you want dinner, you got to go to a Big Storm Brewery tap room, Odessa, Clearwater on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, Ybor City, Centro Ybor, second floor. We were just there the other day for our fantastic draft party. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And of course, in Orlando at the Amway Center, open every day. And down in Cape Coral, BigStormBrewery.com. Check out the menus. And thanks to our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. Go to their website. Of course, it's FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Learn all about their services for what to do when you have a disaster in your home or your business, your property, fire, mold, storm damage. Sage, you got to see these thermal imaging cameras that they have. Josh Martin and his team, they go out to your property. They give you that free assessment, but they're not just looking around with a flashlight, Ira. They've got these thermal imaging cameras. You might not realize your wall is wet, but you know what? And there's mold growing back there, but these cameras are going to detect all kinds of things. It's really incredible. I've seen them in use, Ira, online. Fantastic. Florida's...
Can I use that on my body, Steve? Can I check out a few things? What's going on inside?
I'm sure you probably could, Ira. Who knows where you've got moisture and dampness, Ira? We don't even want to know. But Florida, we'll talk more about Florida's Elite Restoration later, but get there, bookmark it, check them out so you're prepared when disaster strikes. You can call them 24/7. All right, Sage, the draft is in. Now, you gave a quick reaction at our draft party with the pick of the first round pick, but now that you've had time to soak it in, let's start with the first 2 days of the draft, Ira, and then we'll go to the later picks later. We'll take a little halftime break. Kalijah Kancey, defensive tackle out of Pitt. Cody Mauch, offensive tackle or guard. They say he's a guard to start out of North Dakota State in the second round. Bucks traded up to get him. They dumped their seventh round pick, moved up a couple of spots, and got him at number 48 overall. And round three, an edge rusher, Yaya Diaby out of Louisville, a bit of an athletic freak. What are your thoughts overall, Sage? Then we'll go to Lee.
I think they got two starters out of the first 2 days, and that's the first two picks. I'll say this right now. If they're not both starting on a team that went 8-9 with Tom Brady, we got a problem in Tampa. I think the path is set for these two guys. Kancey was not a neat pick, in my opinion. We didn't talk a lot about we got to get a defensive tackle. What surprised me a little in the first three rounds, say, was not getting an offensive tackle. And Lee, a running back, I still think the backfield is suspect. I do. I'm not as high on Rashad White as Jason Light seems to be. Of course, he drafted him. He looked okay as a rookie. Okay. But they didn't take a running back when I thought they could have taken one maybe in the third round. But I think Mauch's going to start at one of the guard spots. I think a lot of the starting jobs, which we talk about, there's going to be fierce competition. Lee, I think that most of it is decided. I do. I think it'd be shocking if Mayfield doesn't win the quarterback job. I think Wirfs is going to left tackle. I think Gedeke's going to right tackle. I think Filer and Malk Lee will be the guards. And Jensen coming back at center. Up front, I see Greg Gaines, Vita Vea, and Cansey. That's what I see. The rest of the team is the same except for Ryan Neal. I think wins a safety job opposite Antoine Winfield. By the way, Lee, it doesn't look like they drafted a slot corner. Maybe there wasn't anybody that they were really high on. I mean, it's a position that's not easy to play, but they need one. But I think the thing, we got to stop with Cansey. I wish the guy came from Penn State instead of Pittsburgh, because I don't want to hear Aaron Donald, and I don't want to hear Randall, John Randall. And, you know, God bless him. You know, Jason Light said he was kidding, and he was kidding, because people forget John Randall happens to have a gold jacket. That's how good John Randall was. Defensive tackle with a very quick first step. So, you know, Lee, let's take it easy about Cansey. Now, Lee, I'm going to make a statement right now. We're 5 minutes into this podcast. If they're listening in Guam, Barcelona, I don't care where they're listening to, you better pull over to the side of the road. I'll say it right now, DeKemper. If this guy Cansey is as good and has as good a career as Gerald McCoy, I think Buck fans should be happy. Now you can kill me.
Gerald McCoy had a nice career. He did. Yeah, I mean, you know, if Cansey has that kind of career, gets into six Pro Bowls, that's a hit. People that don't like that, they need to get over themselves. I'm sorry.
Lee, of course, McCoy was also known for an ultra-quick first step, as is Cansey. No question about it.
Well, you know, you brought up the best one-liner Jason Light ever had. That's not fair to compare him to Aaron Donald. He's more like John Randall. That was hilarious. That was by far the best one-liner I ever heard Light say, especially in a post. That was hilarious. And by the way, they brought Cansey into the media room. I asked him about that. I basically asked him, are you sick of being compared to Aaron Donald? He didn't disagree with me. He respects Aaron Donald, but he's getting tired of everybody saying, oh, he's Aaron Donald. And I don't blame him. If you want me to summarize the draft in one sentence, they're setting themselves up to draft a quarterback next spring.
Whoa. Lee, that statement has ramifications, Lee.
Well, they did nothing to improve the worst rushing attack in the league. You're higher on Rashad White than I am. He had a nice and excellent game against Seattle. And outside of that, nothing. And all the stat geeks, advanced stat, they show he had a terrible year. And now he's like, I need a new number. Do something on the field more than one game before you start bellyaching that you need a new number, huh? And he went to number one, by the way, which is basically he cursed himself. So there you go. So they didn't do anything with the running attack. They didn't do anything on offense except for they got Malk. And I think if you gave Light truth serum, it's a flip of the coin whether, you know, Mayfield turns it around or not. So if Mayfield doesn't turn it around, they've got no running attack. They didn't add any speed to receiver. Yeah, they got the guy from Nebraska who can't catch.
They got a tall tight end. They got a tall tight end. Yeah.
I liked him the third day, but really they didn't do any, you know, they didn't get an impact player on offense. To me, it looks like they're setting up to draft a quarterback next year. Carolina improved, obviously. Atlanta improved. I think the Saints improved. Outside of adding personnel, I don't know that the Bucs improved. Now, these guys may all be fantastic players. I hope they are on defense. But can you say right now the Bucs are a winning team with the draft class they just picked? I can't say that.
No. You know, it reminds me, Lee, of something that either you or Steve wrote the other day. I'm not sure which one of you guys. I think it was you, Lee. A very appropriate little note about how sort of like the glow has been lifted a little. They call it the aura. Remember, Bowles called it the aura now that Brady has departed. Steve, that's the general overview of this franchise. You know, they're going to get one primetime game, maybe two. The days of five night games are over for a while. Not everybody in this division is going to suck. like they did last year. Somebody's going to take a step up. Speaking of the division, I'll throw this
out. Hold on, Ira. Hold on. Don't throw anything out yet. I'm a little confused. Lee confused the hell out of me here, so I got a question. They drafted a guard. Midway through the second round, that's higher than Ali Marpet, who came in and started and was solid. I don't understand, why you're saying they did nothing to enhance the running game. They drafted an offensive lineman that they have confidence in, and they had a need there. So I'm a little lost there.
They had an offensive lineman. That's great. I think Malk is going to be one of those stereotypical second-round small school draft picks that starts for 8 to 10 years for the Bucks. I think that was a nice pick. But I'm just talking about personnel. Did they add any personnel to running back? Any juice, as Byron would say? No, they did not. Did they go out and get a speedy wide receiver? I mean, do we really expect the guy from Nebraska to start next year? No.
He's going to play special teams. No.
He's going to play special teams and, hopefully he learns how to catch. I mean, they drafted a wide receiver late in the draft who can't catch. a lot of holes in the roster for that. Maybe he'll turn out to be okay. I like the fact that he came from LSU and he was caught in a logjam with Jefferson and Chase. So that's very promising. But I don't see where they got anybody who say, this guy's going to be a running back, this guy's going to be a receiver, this guy's going to kick ass. Now, the tight end, again, I think he's going to be all right. He's sort of like a bigger Kate Otten. Maybe a guy can block better than Kate Otten. I don't think the Bucks made any kind of impact on the offense. When I say that, I'm talking about skill personnel.
They didn't, Steve, they didn't get faster on offense. They didn't get faster. That's fair.
I got you, Ira. I got you. No, I had to clarify because I know I'm sure people were listening saying, hey, wait a minute. They added a lineman. That's what that said. Helps the run game. I get that Cansey doesn't like being compared to Aaron Donald Sage. It's kind of like when people used to say you were the next Gary Shelton.
You got to aim high, baby. You got to aim high. Hey, by the way, speaking of the second round pick, and Lee, you know this. I sent the column in and Lee read it a couple of weeks ago. And I mentioned this guy, Malk. I only mentioned a couple of guys. There's some websites that cover the Bucks that mention 27 possible prospects that they're going to take. And if they take one of the 27, it's a big headline. We picked the Bucks pick. We had it. That didn't work. I mentioned two guys, and Malk was one of them. But, Lee, I'm not going to take any credit because by now – and this is not a knock. Actually, it's a positive. Jason Light, Lee, he has a profile, especially when it comes to offensive linemen. And he's had success doing it. And I saw the guy missing two teeth. And that put him over the edge for me. I said, this is a Light guy. And I think he's going to end up being a pretty good player. Lee, there's no doubt in my mind that guy's going to start.
Oh, yeah. One. Do you think that Malk, not necessarily this year, but do you think that Light already has him pegged to replace Ryan Jensen?
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking the same way, Lee. Jensen, maybe two more years in Tampa.
Ira, how many 6'6" centers are in the National Football League?
The man is versatile, Steve. The man is versatile. He's going to start at guard, and they'll probably leave him at guard, but... If Jensen gets hurt during a game, I wouldn't be shocked to see him throw him in there, Steve. Now, that doesn't mean, he's going to be the starting center in 2024. I'm not saying that.
Look, it'll be fun to watch and see if this guy's any good. Now, we got to bring up, it's not really an elephant in the room, but it's an elephant among Bucks fans. There have been reports out there that Tristan Wirfs, 100%, he's moving to left tackle. Now, obviously, the Bucks had this in their mind, and they didn't draft a tackle because they're saying now that Malk is going to be a guard, except I'll believe it when I see it. Ira, I know you feel the same way. I think Lee does too. When the practice really starts and Wirfs is out there and training camp starts, that's when I'll believe it because they could easily pick up a left tackle soon, somebody that they feel who can compete or that they might like to look at. And frankly, they may look at Malk and watch him move and do his thing and be like, you know what? He might be able to play it right now. They got to see these guys. So where do you stand on that, Ira?
As far as Malk competing at tackle, probably not, because I don't think Light would have said it, Lee, that they project him at guard if he didn't really believe that. And it's kind of entrenched, I think, inside the building that the guy's going to play left guard or right guard. To Steve's point, I think Steve makes an interesting point. Lee, in training camp and in preseason, I'll say this. If Wirfs doesn't look as good at left tackle as he does at right tackle, I'm moving him back to right tackle. He's got to look just as good, Lee. I don't think he can be downgraded one bit because, putting too much stock into a blindside position and not going with your guys at their best positions. So I'm not saying Wirfs can't do it. What I am saying is it's not that easy. Wirfs is a great athlete. He probably can do it, but I'm not convinced, Lee. It's not written in stone. And if he has any signs of struggle, I'm moving him back to the right side.
This is exactly why I am, I can't think of the proper adjective or adverb here. I am staunchly, I wouldn't even think about moving Wirfs. I just wouldn't. You got greatness on the right tackle. Don't F with greatness. This is like, Whitey Herzog taking Bruce Sutter. Hey, he's a good closer. Let's turn him into a starter. No, you might. Don't screw with greatness. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. He's superior there. Leave him alone. Don't tempt fate. For the life of me, I don't get it. Why would you even think of that? Simple, period. End sentence. Get a left tackle.
The X factor in this proposed move. Steve, let's be honest. I don't think there's anybody on this roster right now that the offensive line coaches have any confidence can be a good left tackle on this team.
Are they allowed to go out and trade for a left tackle?
Yeah, they'd have to go out and get somebody that's not on the current roster.
There you go.
Teams
do it all the time. Go out and trade for players. Go get a left tackle. Or, hell, and I know this will really freak people out. Bring Donovan Smith back at a cheaper rate.
He's out there. Steve, he's out there.
Ira, Lee made a bold assertion there that you didn't comment on, that this draft smells like the Bucs setting up for a top pick of a quarterback next year. Essentially, it wasn't a win now or it was a draft that's about many years down the road. Sage, do you buy that? Do you believe that the Bucks are thinking that way?
Well, I did react. I said, Lee, that statement has a lot of ramifications. Well, certainly you'd agree with me that Todd Bowles isn't looking at it like that. He can't. He can't be looking at it like that because he won't be here after 6-11. He's not going to be here.
Unless he had some insurance from the Glazers that, don't worry about it, you'll be back next year.
I don't think they do that, Lee. I mean, Shiano didn't survive that second terrible season.
Shiano also wasn't a defensive coordinator that came up with a game plan of all game plans and shut down Pat Mahomes.
I understand, but that same defense didn't show up against Dallas, Lee. It's same thing. I don't think Light's thinking that way, Lee. I really don't. I think he took what he felt was the best value guys at the position. But the problem, Lee, as we said going into the draft, they got a lot of holes. 2 years ago, they didn't have a lot of holes, and they were looking for backups and special teamers. Mm-hmm. And, Steve, this team needs starters. They need them. Still a big hole in the offensive backfield. Still a big hole at nickelback. Still a big hole in terms of a speedy receiver. Maybe a tight end that can get downfield. Steve, this tight end that they drafted, he's tall. He might be a red zone target. Steve, the guy can't get any separation. I mean, he's slow, really slow. I think he's slower than Ott, and he might be slower than Brait. So he's not a downfield threat. I think they're still going to have problems with explosive plays.
I think you're right. Now, Otten can get down and seam. Otten's fairly decent at that. Fairly decent.
Steve, I think you'd agree with me that certainly Bowles, and I don't think even Light or Spytek or any of those people or the Glazers, I don't think they're thinking about the 2024 draft when they went into that war room.
Oh, they better have. That's what a good general manager does do that. A good general manager, and Light has done this before, he looks at what's available the following year, and that a lot of times drives players they pick in the current year.
Wait a minute. I would say this. If you're thinking about 2024, and you're never very far from having Caleb Williams on your mind, Lee. You're just not. Steve, if they were thinking about making a splash in the 24 draft, you would think that Light would move down from 19 for a team that wanted to move up. And I think there were some teams that wanted to move up. And accumulate some draft capital, get some flexibility for 2024. Steve, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. As a matter of fact, he moved up in the second round instead of moving back in the second round. So I don't see that what was the overwhelming strategy in the draft.
Sage, I want to bring up something that is very close to your heart, something you like to talk about, and that would be 1982, 41 years ago, Ira, because that's the last time the Buccaneers picked three players in their first three picks, first three rounds, who put their hand in the dirt, three linemen. That's the last time they did that. 1982, that's how rare it is to not grab a cornerback or a running back or you know, this is what they did. Now, this is a very Jason Light, Todd Bowles kind of thing. But 41 years, Ira, that's not an accident. That's not a coincidence. Teams don't typically draft like this. Do you have a thought on that totality?
Yeah, I think it backs up what Lee and I have been yakking about now for 2 months. Build the trenches. Build the trenches. I can't fault Light for trying to find an edge rusher and a disruptive D-tackle. And a mauling guard when I've been screaming about the trenches are crying out for help. So I can't be a hypocrite, Lee. Now, the question is, how good are these guys? We have no idea right now, so we shall see. But, Steve, I'll say this. This guy, Diaby, if Tryon Shoyenka is struggling, he's going to find himself with a seat on the bench, and they're going to try out this kid off the right edge. And he might play even if Shoyenka's playing well, because we don't know about Shaq Barrett. And I don't mean the tragedy that happened, God forbid, you know, coming back from a major injury. So that third round pick's got a chance to, he's got a chance to make an impact, Lee.
Well, I wrote this a couple times. Steve's written it once. No more excuses for Todd Bowles. And you probably know where I'm coming from, Ira. I don't mean to trigger you, but facts
don't
are
say
facts.
It. And don't you say it, Lee.
Todd Bowles has not developed rookie edge rushers. He hasn't. He just hasn't. That's history. And I wish that was not the case, but it is the case. You know, I think it's great that this Yaya, good chicken, by the way, Yaya comes in and, you know, say, well, he's going to push Tryon Shoyenka. History doesn't show that. I hope I'm dead wrong. I hope this is finally the year that Todd Bowles can say, see, D-Camper, I can develop a freaking edge rusher. We'll see. Here's my 2 points I want to make about the draft overall. One, I love the athleticism of these guys. You know, this team didn't have athleticism. It certainly didn't have speed. All these guys seem to have speed and athleticism. I don't know about Mauk, but you don't need speed in the guard. All these guys have speed. A couple of them were on Bruce Feldman's freaks list, which I right. do know NFL people monitor. And that's great to see. That's great to see that they're bringing athletes in. Hopefully they can mold them into football players. Oh, my second point, Spytek. Spytek is the first guy that has easily explained why it's bad to reach. He explained that on Saturday night. And I'm like, okay, now I get it. Because that screws up your whole draft. Doesn't screw up one position. It screws up your whole draft when you reach for a player. And I always thought that was like, well, if you need the player and the player's there, okay, it's a little bit of a reach, but you're filling a need. It's a win-win. What's the problem? Well, then he explained when you do that, you're basically drafting a guy that shouldn't be drafted there. And in the process, you're passing up players that you should have drafted in the first place. So you're reaching with one guy and you're missing out on others. And that's the first time anyone's ever explained it in a coherent manner. And I appreciate that from Spytek.
But I don't buy it at all. If you really think about it, I don't think it doesn't mean it makes sense just because he had a good argument. If you just pick the right freaking guys, you can go for need. Just don't screw up. If somebody reached on Alvin Kamara and took him late in the second round in 2017, nobody would give a crap. You can go all the way through the draft and say, oh, they reached for this guy in the sixth round. Well, he panned out. And I get what Spytek's saying. You got to trust your evaluation. But just because I take a guy in a second round and he probably should have been in the third round, bottom line is I'm not taking anybody I don't think is a good player. So it just doesn't fit. unless you're starting a team from scratch and you have no needs, or you have a blank canvas and you're like, hey, we're not going to win for 3 years anyway. Let's just get the best players we have. But most teams don't. So I didn't buy any of that crap from Spytek at all. Sage, your thoughts.
I think you're being a little harsh here, Steve. I think if you consistently, draft a guy in the second round that you yourself and your scouts have a fourth round value on, and you take him in the second round and you do it consistently, I think you're going to have a broken down organization. I don't think it works in the long run. Yeah, you can hit on a Kamara if that was the case for Kamara. There's always going to be, you know, outliers. But I think the word is value. Where are you taking a guy? You don't take a guy at 41 that's number 112 on the board because you need a wide receiver. I don't think that works in the long run.
But, Sage, why stretch it so far? You're given huge outliers by stretching it. If they ranked Kancey at number 23, but they wanted him, what did they do wrong? If they evaluated him properly as a first-round pick, any first-round pick should be a good starter and potentially push being a Pro Bowler.
I guess that comes down to the gap between the pick and the value. You're right, Steve. If it's four picks and you want Kancey, you take him, and no problem. By the way, gentlemen, so when they're in their 3-4 alignment that Todd Bowles seems to favor, especially on early downs, does that mean... Lee, does that mean that Gaines and Kancey are defensive ends, so to speak, in this three-man front?
Well, Kancey, apparently, he's quick enough that he could come from the outside. I think this, the long and short of it is, Todd Bowles has more toys to play with. We know he likes to come up with all these exotic blitzes, and this gives him more toys to play with. And how he uses them, we'll see. But like I wrote, Steve's written it more than I have. No more excuses. No more excuses. It was a defensive-heavy draft, and Todd Bowles has all kinds of toys now. Have a better defense at the end of the year.
Steve, speaking of the division, I just want to make a quick comment about the first round for Atlanta. And I'm not doubting, Robinson. You know, a lot of pundits had him as a top-five value, a top-five talent. Steve, that running back on Atlanta that they had last year, Allgeier, the guy's really good. I think the guy's very good. I know, the days of the Derrick Henry one back, the days are gone. But gotta think they could have taken somebody at number 8 that would have made more of an impact than a guy that's going to share the ball with Allgeier. I don't think Allgeier's going to the bench just because they got Robinson. That guy's good.
You expect me to cry for the Falcons?
I know what Steve's going to say is Arthur Smith's going very heavy on a ground and pound. Ground and pound.
Knock yourself out, pal. It's 2023.
Yeah, look, Ira, that's the way he looks at it. He wants to run the ball 40 times a game. So, they'll split the carries and do their thing. It's sort of a weird pick. But if Robinson is as good as everyone says he is, then it's not a weird pick, right? They didn't reach. They took him where he was supposed to be taken, I guess. Screw the Falcons, Ira. How about that? BillCurryFord.com. They hate the Falcons over there. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you go shopping for a vehicle immediately, and GM Sean Sullivan will help you at all times. So just reach out to him. And thanks to Big Storm Brewery. Big Storm Brewery, home of our draft party on Thursday night, Ira, at their Ybor location now. Sage, before we get to the rest of the picks, the two fifth-rounders and the two sixth-rounders, I got to give you a moment to share your thoughts on the draft get-together. I know there's always a couple of people you want to point out. You were touching everybody, hugging everybody, shaking hands. And I also wanted to mention, Ira, that we ran into a listener there who really told us a hell of a story. He explained that he listened to us for 6+ years in Singapore and in Australia before he moved back to Tampa just recently. So, I would joke with you, hey, Ira, I've got my tracking here. The trackers on the podcast feed says we have a listener here, a listener there, a listener in Malaysia, whatever. And you always laugh about it. But hey, we met one from Singapore and Australia. So that was pretty cool, Ira. And just On your last podcast, Ira, I just took a quick look while we were here. The countries where you had one listener, I'll just spit them out. Portugal, Austria, Guam, Singapore, Thailand, Israel, Switzerland, Malta, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Cayman Islands, and Poland. All those countries in the last episode, you had one listener. So what do you think, Sage?
Well, to all my international friends, I say aloha and bonjour. That guy really made the draft night for me. Steve, we had a hell of a time. We had a big turnout. But that guy came up to me. I didn't know who he was. You know, Steve, since I joined this august organization with you and Lee, it's been, you know, it's going to be 7 years, right, Steve, in July?
Yep.
So I think we've done like, you know, 500 podcasts.
More like 700, Sage. Months of my life I'll never get back.
This guy said that while he was in Australia and Singapore, he didn't miss a podcast. Not a single one. And he said he's missed the last 5 or 7 because he's been so busy getting back to the States. But he's going to listen to them, on tape and get caught up to speed. I thought that was fantastic. Coach Combs, it's great to see him. What's the name of our guy from that flew in from Houston, Steve?
Daryl.
Daryl was fantastic. He was sitting at the table behind us. I enjoyed talking to him. He really knew his stuff. He bleeds Buccaneer, and here he's in Texas, Houston. He's probably a big Mike Evans fan because Mike's down the road in Galveston, grew up. And it was just fantastic to see Josh and everybody from Florida's Elite Restoration. Of course, Lee, what you missed, Sean Sullivan holding court. Absolutely holding court, going crazy. Lee, you got the first two picks right, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. And he thought he was going to have a bravura night, and nobody did because of those damn trades. You know, Lee screws everybody's draft up. It was one hell of a night, and we had some very, very interesting guests, Steve, especially that guy from Australia and Singapore.
Quick shout-out to Garv down in Sarasota, who...
Garv spent the night with us at the table, yeah?
Garv actually told me when you were gone, Ira, he said, hiring Ira is the best thing you guys ever did at Joe Bucks Fan. Of course, I completely disagreed with him, but hey, I just figured I'd share, Ira.
Hey, Steve.
You know, I can't believe, I thought he lived like in Land Lakes or something. He tells me Sarasota. I mean, that's a nice drive to Ybor City. That showed me something, Steve.
So, Sage, it was a good time, a lot of good memories. We'll do it again next year, and of course, we'll have our watch party events this year at Big Storm Brewery locations to be determined soon. We'll get the schedule in less than 2 weeks, Ira, which is kind of exciting. And, you know, all those listeners who are rolling in from Sarasota and Trinity and Lakeland, they can all call Florida's Elite Restoration. They service the entire Tampa Bay area. And if you have a disaster in your home, call them 24/7. They'll give you that free assessment evaluation in your property and let them know Ira sent you. And if you do that, if you end up moving ahead with their services, they will give you $500 back. Maybe that's in the form of your deductible for your insurance company or just cash. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're fantastic. They've got decades of experience on the insurance side of things as adjusters and working with insurance companies, so they know how companies try to rip you off, and they're going to fight for you. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Get there.
Steve, I got to know if Ira has any listeners in the Vatican.
I'll go to the countries with two listeners in the last episode, Netherlands, Dominican Republic, Japan, Australia, Sweden, and I'm looking longer. No Vatican, Ira. Still holding strong in New Zealand with 3, so that's about it.
What about the red light district in Amsterdam? Anybody listening to me over there, Lee?
So, Sage, we've got other draft picks here, and they're important because they fill out the roster, and obviously, the organization is high on these guys, so we got to talk about him. No fourth-round pick for Jason Light. He said it was killing him that he didn't have one. Now, he traded that away last year, and that became the Zion McCollum pick, the cornerback, who, maybe he's in the mix for the nickel job. He played a little last year, did okay at nickel. He wasn't very good on the outside, but he was okay the little bit he played at nickel, special teams guy. So no fourth-round pick. Light didn't recoup one. But he first pick in the 5th round, Servassier Dennis, really undersized, speedy guy, blitzer out of Pittsburgh, same school as Kalijah Jokansey. Round 5, that's where they got the tight end we mentioned before out of Purdue, Payne Durham. Got good hands. He's caught a lot of touchdowns. Lee wrote that up. one of the top touchdown makers in college football, but fifth round pick late.
Hold on. Lee, I'm wondering if you're thinking the same way I am about this. I think in a lot of ways, guys, I think in a lot of ways, the biggest shocker about the 2023 Buccaneer draft was that Light managed to control his emotions, Lee, and not try to recoup that fourth round pick. I was shocked. I thought going into the third day of the draft, I was positive that Light was going to do anything in his power to try to get a fourth round pick. I didn't think he could sit out, him and his staff, in that war room and watch all those picks fly by in the fourth round, and he's sitting there idle. Lee, I was stunned that Light was willing to sit out the fourth round.
A little bit surprised. I think it was Thursday night he said when he was younger he would have, no question, made a couple moves to draft up. He held back this time.
And I agree with you. It's a good point. Somewhat ironic because after Payne Durham, they chose Josh Hayes, the defensive back out of Kansas State. But then the next pick, that's where they took Trey Palmer, the receiver out of Nebraska. And to get him, Light traded next year's fifth-round pick to the Eagles to get that sixth-round pick. You know, that almost in some weird way doesn't support the idea that they're 100% in on next year's draft, because he didn't trade to acquire any picks next year, and he gave away a fifth-rounder that might have helped in a throw-in. You know, it was a little bit odd.
Speaking of Trey Palmer, and I don't want to get Lee too excited here, you know, on May 1st, but if this guy's any good at all in terms of his return skills, he's got to win that job, Lee. He's got to win that job. That's his way to make this team. Show me you can return a punt for 28 yards. Bring back a kickoff for 48 yards. That's where this guy's going to make his impact, Lee. And if he doesn't have those skills, he's probably not going to make the team.
Well, he will make the team. I'm not overly impressed with the Bucs' depth at wide receiver. I think he's got a decent chance to make the team. But you know what? Year after year after year, it's beat over my head by the Bucs. Like, we got a quick guy. He's going to be our returner. And they're still looking for the guy.
Lee, did something happen with you and Kenny Bell?
No, I'll let Steve tell the story. But this every year, we drafted this guy, he can return. We drafted this guy, he can return. We drafted this guy, he can return. And I'm just over it. Just freaking return the ball. I don't give a damn. Just do something. I don't care.
I don't care
about returning the ball anymore. The Bucs don't seem to be overly concerned about it. And I'm done with it. I'm just hoping he makes the team, gives the Bucs some downfield speed if he can learn to catch the ball. That's what I'm worried about. Return game, don't get me going.
I looked at the Trey Palmer draft, and I kind of said to myself, well, why didn't they just re-sign Scotty Miller for the veteran minimum and go, you know, like he got in Atlanta and go somewhere else? So that, what do you think of that thought?
Well, I still think they're looking at this guy as a return guy to compete against Tompkins, who was okay. You know, okay. Look, this team's not going to overwhelm anybody. I mean, one nice punt return can win a game. They win games, these plays. You know, NFL games are they're decided within 7 points, you know, the majority of them. And the Bucs don't get any juice out of that return game. And by the way, Lee, and Steve mentioned this a month ago, and I think it's worth repeating. We've heard so much about some of these past drafts being very heavy, accentuating special teams. Lee, their coverage units just haven't been very good the last couple of years. I don't think there's anything exceptional about it. You know my man Rick Gosselin, Lee. You know what he wrote about in terms of Bucs special teams overall. Wasn't very pretty. So hopefully, you know, some of these guys, you know, like Dennis, Diaby, hopefully, Josh Hayes, hopefully they can help on special teams. They need a lot of help there, Lee.
Same song, different dance. I mean, hear this all the time. I mean, who was that guy from Houston, the dude with the hair, the backup linebacker, who Light basically said was going to be with the Bucs for a decade, and he'd be, you know, the special teams stud, and he invoked some guy from Miami years ago when he worked with the Dolphins. He could be that guy. And a year later, they trade him. They don't care. I don't care. I'm done with it.
It's an area, Steve, where they've annually underachieved.
All right, yeah. Sage, Kenny Bell.
Steve, you got a quick Kenny Bell start?
So when the draft was going on and the Bucks were taking Trey Palmer, I threw out a fun little tweet. I just simply tweeted a Nebraska receiver in round 6. What the Kenny Bell? And of course, Kenny Bell was their 5th round pick in 2015. And he didn't pan out, but that wasn't the point. It wasn't knocking Kenny Bell. It was just kind of like, hey, another Nebraska receiver. There's not exactly a lot of Nebraska receivers littering the NFL with their talents. So the response comes about 3-4 hours later. Kenny Bell responds, quote, no turd cutter, comma, kid might stand a chance.
You know, that tells you why Kenny Bell's not in the NFL, Lee. You know when you can write that? When you leave Cutter and you leave the Bucks and you do something worth a damn with somebody else. Then you blame Cutter for retarding your progress. The guy never did anything, Lee. He's got nothing to say.
Tell me about it. That's like Juan Bowers. Remember when the Bucks had cut Bowers and they bailed him out and they brought him back because they had injuries at defensive tackle? And then he got cut again. And for like 2 or 3 years, while Bowers labored in the Canadian Football League, he hounded White on Twitter for years. Blame White for ruining his career. Like, dude, you're put in Canada. If you're any good, you're going to get back in the NFL. Come on.
But they never look in the mirror, Steve. They never look in the mirror.
Yeah,
never.
Blame White, even though he's in Canada. Come on.
A guy by the name of Rick Brown used to cover the Buccaneers. And we were at training camp one day after Greg Schiano had left town, and Rick Brown was talking to Bowers. I was listening, standing there, and he asked Bowers something about Schiano, and Bowers says, quote, he broke me mentally, that he basically, I couldn't handle it. He broke me mentally. Now, I tried to be nice, Ira. You know, this just goes speaks to some of your old media brethren here. For some reason, Rick Brown didn't think that was a story. And I figured I'd give him a break. I didn't steal it from him, or, you know, even though I was standing there, I gave him a day to write it up. He didn't write it up, so I wrote it up. That's like, you know, that's sort of like a big admission from a player on a team. And Rick never ended up writing it up. But going back to Kenny Bell, Ira, he has 0 career NFL passes. So I agree with you. You can't blame Dirk Cutter for you never catching a pass. And he had some cups of coffee. He had a cup of coffee with the Ravens and the Broncos.
Did you respond to Mr. Bell, Steve?
Nothing more than woo, you know, something like that, or, you know, yeah, just for fun. All right, Sage, look, last pick, Jose Ramirez, late in the 6th round, and he is a edge rusher out of Eastern Michigan. They're taking a flyer on this guy. Some people think he's a special talent. Maybe he is. I don't know. Do you have a thought, Ira? I know you watch a lot of Eastern Michigan football.
Well, Lee, the guy runs a 4.7. And he put up some big numbers. I mean, there's no question about it. 31 and a half tackles for loss last 2 seasons. But Lee, like many late round picks, it comes down to the competition. Who are you doing it with? There's a reason he was still out there in the 6th round. I'm certainly not going to fault Light for taking a flyer on him. Get some good coaching behind him and develop this kid. But to expect him to contribute this fall, Lee, I think that's a stretch.
You know what I'm harping on all the time. You know, yes. Bowles hasn't developed any edge rushers, not just with the Bucs, but his career. So there's that element. But Cynthia Freeland went bananas about this guy. You know, Cynthia Freeland in the post-draft show on NFL Network on Total Access, they asked her, like, okay, what's your favorite pick of day 3? Well, day 3 is what, 4 rounds? She mentioned this guy from Eastern Michigan, the Bucs pick. She went crazy over this guy. And wow. What's interesting is I was doing a little bit of research, and I found out, and I know this is going to really excite you, Ira, at the combine in the shuttle run, he put together a shuttle run. His speed is like Dwight Freeney. That's how quick he was. Maybe there was something to work with there. But I just thought it was very interesting that of all the players on the 3rd day of the draft, that Cynthia Freeland singled out this Bucks pick in the 6th round.
Steve, if we could put Kancey and Aaron Donald in the same sentence, why can't we put Ramirez and Dwight Freeney in the same sentence? Steve?
That's a good question. All right, so Sage, before we get out of here, let me try to wrap it up this way with your thoughts, our thoughts on this. Everybody grades a draft. People grade drafts. It's kind of silly. Mel Kiper cracks me up. He grades every team, but he doesn't give anybody a D or an F, or even that was like there was like one C minus or something. So what's the point if you're not gonna, you know, everybody gets a B? You know, it's just weird. But where do you put this draft, your opinion of it in broad perspective? Do you like it? Do you think the Bucks made themselves a better team this year? Well, how do you see it?
I think they got more physical and a little more speed on defense, but you can't forget Lee's point. This is a plodding offense. Yeah, even with Mike Evans and Godwin and Rashad White, they're not burners. Neither is Gage necessarily. Terms of position, Otten, you know, okay speed for tight end. But they got more physical. They got some maulers. They got some nasty guys, especially Malk. You know, I'd like to see Kancey spend a lot of time in opposing teams' backfields. That's exciting. If that happens, this is going to be a better defense. But nobody nationally, and we knew this, guys, when you pick 19, unless they took a quarterback, Lee, unless they took Hooker or Levis at 19, which thankfully they did not.
Yeah.
And by the way, Lee, going into the Bucs pick, our guy Sean Sullivan, he was scared to death that they were going to take a quarterback. And I assured him they were not. They were not.
Well, I was scared to death they were going to take Will Levis.
Yeah. He didn't want either of them for the Buccaneers, and I don't blame him. Steve, nationally, and nobody's paying much attention to the Bucs slate of draft picks. That's fine. You know, they're not a prime time organization anymore. That's fine. We want to see progress.
Sage, the Bucs need a quarterback. They still only have two. And all these teams drafted quarterbacks. They didn't draft one. Todd Bowles at the Combine said he wants two veterans in, but we still don't have one. I was looking at the list. Trevor Siemian is out there. At least he's got some experience. Played well against the Bucks a couple of years ago. He's won some games as a third quarterback. Somebody in the mix. Teddy Bridgewater's hanging out there. He played for Bowles. He probably wants too much money, but maybe he'll take next to nothing as time passes here. What do you think they do with that last quarterback? And that'll be my last question, and I'm out.
I was a little surprised they didn't take a flyer on a quarterback in the late rounds. Ron Wolf, Lee, I talked to him on the morning of the draft. I asked him the biggest mistake guys make, and he said drafting for need. Well, Lee, he was famous for drafting a quarterback every year. And he had Brett Favre in Green Bay throughout the 90s, and he would draft a quarterback every year. Some of them turned out to be pretty good. Yep. Matt Hasselbeck was one of them. There were a couple of other guys, Ty Detmer, guys that played in the league. And I think his attitude was, well, we got Favre. You know, maybe another team would be interested in one of these guys down the line. You know, guy who looks good in a preseason game or something. And sure enough, you know, you could pawn him off for draft capital. Light didn't do that. I wasn't shocked at it. As far as bringing in a veteran quarterback, Lee, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, Lee, I don't know what happened. I mean, 3 years ago, I think people thought that Bridgewater was a starting quarterback in this league. Nobody thought he was Patrick Mahomes, but they thought, you know, maybe he's as good as Geno Smith. Well, Geno Smith resurrected his career, and Bridgewater has gone backwards. He's gone backwards.
Bridgewater, and to a lesser degree, different position, Chase Young are perfect examples. You know, we kind of think now that with so much success, with guys coming back from knee surgeries, that it's pretty much a done deal. Oh, he'll be back. And Bridgewater and Chase Young, maybe Ryan Jensen, we don't know. Maybe those right. are great examples that it's not necessarily a slam dunk to bounce back from a knee surgery.
You're right. And, you know, age could be a factor with Jensen. And sometimes, Lee, you're better 2 years removed from the surgery than you are coming back immediately from the surgery. Steve, if you're asking me about Siemian and Bridgewater, I'll take Bridgewater.
All right, Sage, we will take you later in this week. Be good, Ira. We'll wish your Philadelphia 76ers some luck in the NBA playoffs, and we'll see you next time.